This could be about me, bitter and twisted.
That would be about right.
Life gets us all.
The thing is, bitter and twisted, but this is tasty, Justin. That wouldn't be you. That analogy just falls down and it's harsh there, you know.
And my joke that I normally tell people is, because Bearer Bitter is my company name, is actually named after the family. So I call it like Unbearable Ego to name a business after myself.
Sherlock,
exactly.
What would you call it? If you were had a company, Justin, what would you call it? If you were going to call it after you?
If it was going to call it after me, I would probably call it McCartney, Locker, Taylor, Reed. We have the key to succeed. Do you like that?
Yeah.
Very regal sounding name.
Isn't it good? Yes, if I was going to, what would you call a company after yourself if you had a company name?
I don't know. I would consult you, Justin, because you seem to be able to come up with these wonderful names. I would pay you as a consultant to do it.
Okay, yeah. I'd only charge 50 grand, the same as all the other consultants, Mary.
I kind of went down the alliteration route, actually, because I'm a Sullivan Bear, and I tend to use the English version more of Sullivan, but I just was like, oh, Bear of Bitters, the whole alliteration things works. So I kind of...
It does work. It does. Right, of course it works. We're joined by Mary from Bear of Bitters, because this is going to be sort of more related to Justin, because Justin's the cocktail man. He's the guy with the sparkly umbrellas and all that kind of stuff. First off, I'm going to ask, what is bitters?
Bitters is very strongly flavoured alcohol that you use a few drops at a time in drinks or in food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's traditionally used.
What's the process of it? Do you buy in a flavoured spirit? Do you buy in a gin?
I get a neutral grain spirit. We actually buy in organic alcohol, and then we just build the flavour profile on top. So what we do is we have a suite of dried and organic flavours that we extract. And the way that you do it is you put in the most woody flavours first. So the things like the cinnamon quills, the allspice berries, the star anise, they go in at the start. And then sequentially you add the fresher ingredients. So anything up to, say, with our orange bitters, we add a little bit of fresh ginger juice about 2 hours before bottling, and then everything gets sieved out. So the reason for that is that fresher ingredients extract quicker. And I tend to talk to a lot of bar staff who've at least attempted making their own bitters, and they often end up with something that could best be described as silage. And what they've done is over-extracted. And it's a very high chlorophyll extraction that they've got then.
Right. You're saying extraction. Do you mean by extraction?
It's just an infusion. So it's not it's just literally time spent on the alcohol by the organic herbs and spices. And it just has to have time. Same as you put spirit into a barrel and it takes a while for the spirit to move in and out of the wood and extract the flavors. That's how bitters are made as well. It's just, we're not leaving them there for 3 years.
Yeah.
Difference. So ours would be in for anything between about 3 weeks to a month.
But bitters seem to be an ingredient in virtually every single cocktail known to man. Why is that? What do they do to the alcohol compounds then?
What they do is, bitters themselves are so incredibly strong that in America it's not even considered legally a potable alcohol, because no one would drink it. I mean, we wouldn't either. What it does is you're adding it. Unless you're making like bitters cocktail, then you're not drinking it neat. Or there are places that do.
Yeah.
I see you laughing. There are places that do highly unusual. So what you're doing is concentrated flavor into a much larger volume of liquid. And what you're doing is, it's a lot of bar staff call it like the salt and pepper of the bar trade. So what you're doing is, you're not meant to overwhelm many of the flavors that exist, fundamentally change the drink. All you're doing is gilding it a little. Okay. It's the same as like if you forget to put salt on and it's unbalanced, but you're not sure why. So that's why an awful lot of traditional cocktails do have bitters, is that it lends a little bit of herbaceous, it lends a little bit of spice, a little touch of sweetness.
So basically it's like a condiment. That's essentially what you're saying. It's a condiment for cocktail.
I mean, it essentially, you can add it like that. Yes, exactly. Back in the day, people would have considered more of a medicine, and they would have been adding it to drinks. That's one of the reasons why Angostura is that has survived were the Great Depression was because it was, and it's kind of one of those things that's an interesting thing from a science, like historical science background, because my background actually is in science. And funnily enough, I had run across bitters in my science degree before I'd actually run across it and decided to start my own business. So I did my undergrad in wildlife biology, and then I did my master's in evolutionary biology. Tried to do as much plant science, but we had to do a certain amount of human evolution and stories about a killer of young men worldwide up until like not the 80s, the 1980s, cancer. And stomach cancer that was called bacterial infection, and people used to drink bitters because especially Angostura has a higher alcohol percent. So if you take a little bit of bitters either neat or in some water, you're putting 50% bacterial infection, and it helps kind of control them. And it was kind of, it's one of those funny things that like
I never knew that.
Yeah,
I tell you what, Marty, this is one smart lady we have here that knows our bitters.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Actually, no, it's funnier because
so the number one cause.
Yeah. Until the 1980s. Yeah, of young men worldwide. Like, I think it was something like 100 million dying a year. Actually, the guy who figured out that it was a bacterial infection got a Nobel Prize, and it was taking him the okay to do a human trial. So he actually got a beaker of Helicobacter pylori is the name.
Yes.
The bacteria.
Yeah, that was the ulcers. That was, they found out ulcers were actually bacterial.
Yes. So that guy slugged a beaker full of that without any okay from the university. And two weeks later, vomiting blood. They're like, okay, it does actually cause this.
Wow.
Right. I try that job and see if it works.
I don't volunteer.
We'll have a bitter on hand just to try and race
diet. But anyway.
So, Mary, tell us about the bitters. Your bitters are made with a base of organic apple brandy that you source from Hyde Bank Distillery in Kilkenny. And a big range of
flavors. One of our batches did. We actually ended up having to move away brandy just towards the end of COVID. I need to update my website actually, because it's just the price of everything went up at the end of COVID. So we had to move on to a neutral grain spirit. Mm-hmm. And actually, this year, I'm just making another batch of the smoked pear before Christmas. They're going to be the organic brandy again. So on the batch that you get, so there's subtle differences within it, and it's just what we can work with, really. And it's playing.
And you've won Irish Design Awards for your labels and bronze medal at the International Wine and Spirits Competition. So how hard is it to penetrate that market, which is dominated by the main bitter with the funny label?
I would say quite difficult. Now, I think what doesn't help me is I haven't a drinks background. So I've been kind of just saying to people, if I'm really doing something stupid here, do tell me, because I do need it pointed out to me. So what I find, though, there is a big interest in Irish brands. Like, Irish people do want to support other Irish brands. An awful lot of other drinks do want to use like the square the circle of, well, if you're making cocktails, why are you having, you're having an Irish mixer, you're having Irish spirits, and then you're buying in cocktail bitters from the Caribbean or America, you know, when you're looking to have something that's a taste of local. And because we're still only available within Ireland, we're kind of saying, look, it is actually very local and very special. So that is that was kind of our initial idea with that.
Now, right, so you've got your neutral green spirit. You've decided to put in your sort of punchy, citrusy elements to it first. In a way, it's kind of a cocktail reduced in miniature, because you have to blend this up. Now, how do you go about that? I know that sounds very like botanicals for gin, something similar like that. If something is overpowered at the start, then it's kind of hard to get that out. Is it going to be right in that?
Well, I already kind of like have, I'm constrained in the flavors that I can have. And because when I was launching, I had to have an aromatic and I had to have an orange, because there's about 100, 120 years worth of cocktail recipes bitters. Aromatic bitters is just an industry term for quite star anise forward bitters. And so when I was developing the flavors, I had to kind of stay within somewhat the bounds of what's already existing, because I can't have something that's too much. The one thing that I allow myself to go kind of crazy with was the, so they're meant to be a nod towards more traditional flavors within Ireland, because we would have either smoked our food or salted it in order to get through the winter. So that's three different pairs that get cold smoked over oak down it. And I kind of, I'd say that as well with like a scotch, it's just kind of more smoky elements.
Now, so you have these the extracts that you're talking about, and they go through now. The different cocktails, you have a different range of different bitters. What do you pair them up? So say an old fashioned, that's the sort of classic one with whiskey and bitters. So
I'd say just a little bit of sugar. This is local, first of all, that we're using made locally. What looking at then is it's quite a touch herbaceous than ours is, a little bit touch of sweetness. Like we use and nothing else, and actually list everything that we use on our label, versus an awful lot of existing brands use glycerin, they use an awful lot of stabilizers, they can use a little bit of citric acid to pump it up for profiles you're going for. So what we're saying is that we're just flavor and alcohol, there's nothing else added or taken away from it.
What are all your flavors? What bottles can people get?
So people can get the we have the 200 mil. We've got a little 50 mil that we kind of go, like, if people are looking to have something in their handbag, if they're going to parties and things like that. And then what we actually, but it's not for the general public. Sell into like some of the breweries that do partnerships or their gifting sets, is we do a little 30 mil kind of.
What are the flavors you get? What are the flavors?
Oh yes, sorry, it's aromatic orange and smoked pear. What we're looking at asking me to do different flavors and things, and I'm kind of going like, I could, but I feel like we kind of have a solid range here, and what I'm concentrating on is every 3 months I actually do a new set of recommended cocktails. So I'll do whiskey, gin, kind of like allow myself to be a bit creative with it. So sometimes I do prosecco, cognac, poutine.
So you're very seasonal, actually, because you have winter cocktails at the minute.
Yeah,
everything's in mirror image tonight, folks. Don't worry about it. It's just technical difficulties. But I mean, these winter cocktails, they're pretty special, actually, aren't they?
They absolutely are, because I kind of go like, my product isn't meant to overwhelm anything that's there. It's only meant to add emphasis, like, open up the flavors, allow it to sing. Like, it's not meant to mask anything. So what we're trying to do is have the flavors of the season as well married with it. So in the summertime we'd have like basil smashes, things like that, or like a classic pink gin, with which would be traditionally people aromatic bitters in with gin, versus people now tend to already flavored gin, which is just a different stylistic choice. I don't think that there's any better or worse. It's what people like.
Yeah, people like what they like. There's no accounting for taste, sort of thing. You know, people like what they like. But give us one of your recipes for a cocktail. Tell us what Justin has in his hand here. Give us an idea.
The one thing that because I'm nearly always on the road doing tastings, my favorite cocktail is a Gunner's, which is a Hong Kong cocktail. It's actually a low alcohol one. So it's a split ginger ale, ginger beer, fresh lime juice. And this summer I've been making it with the orange bitters, but a classic Gunner's would be bitters. And it's just incredibly fresh with the combination of ginger.
That sounds like a nice thing to have. It's very fresh.
It does, because ginger ale, of course, invented in Belfast.
Correct.
I'd
forgotten that. You're right.
That's an Irish invention too. Where can people buy these? Where can they buy them? Direct from your website, or
they can buy direct from your website. I like to try and push people to support our Caucus, because we're trying to work with people. Just in the Celtic Whiskey shop, you can get us in numbered. We're in Matson's or Bradley's down in Cork. Or you can just catch us online as well. Yeah, we were in Worldwide Wines in Waterford. We're in Carry Out in Tremor. In places now, and I'll get it in the next people. But what would you mention it? But we do actually, it should be listed on our website, our stockists too.
To stock us there. Now, you say you're on the road a lot. We crossed paths at Putchin now. Are you planning on coming down there, or you think of maybe help popping over, or where else can they catch you?
Well, every year I'm at Whiskey Live. I'm hoping to get down to Ballymaloe and do taste Sheridan over in Meath, Cork fairly often, and do tasting in Bradley's. I'm talking to them as well. So thing is just people can kind of, I appreciate that, like, if people aren't familiar with the utility value, which is why I try and give people the recipe cards, try to explain to them. And when I do tastings, I try, I don't think I was able, just so busy, but when things are quieter, I actually do food pairings with the bitters. So there's quite an intense flavoring. There's no reason at all it can't be. So I always actually do a food tasting and a drinks tasting paired so that people can see it. And I try and do, if everything, the stars align and I can pull myself together in time for it, I'll do two food tastings. So I'll do a sweet and a savory, because
that's what Molly does with the whiskey tastings.
Yes. Yeah.
I do that. It's just a nice thing to do. And getting them up and running. Mm. But listen, Mary, thanks very much for joining us.
I've had a great time.
You can go check out the Beer at Bitters. Justin will be doing the cocktails, his cocktail hour of an evening. That's what Justin's is into when he's eating foie gras and all these fresh cheeses and all. So you can check out the website and keep your eye out. Mm. It's basically a traveling roadshow.
Yes, thanks for joining us, Mary. And hopefully we'll see you sometime soon somewhere. Remember, we're live on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Telegram, Facebook, 10 p.m. Saturday nights. And, well, you've guessed it, we're enjoying the rugby tonight. So this isn't live, but if you do comment, we will see it, and so will Mary, all right? There you go.
All right.
There you go.
Enjoy. Take care.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.